Good morning, Sunday morning, people. Resurrection Day, people. It is Sunday, May the 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. I know we got church ahead of us today, and, you know, we're church every day, though. Have you thought about that? Church isn't just that day of the week that we go somewhere. We are church. I look at Sunday's practice, you know that. Monday's game day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we're going to church today to get ourselves back in the shape of Jesus. That's why we practice, to get in shape. To get ready, the shape of Jesus, the shape of the cross. We sing the songs, we pray the prayers, we read the word, we hear the message, we encourage one another and build each other up. We encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. And I'm happy to be with you today, which, speaking of which, I just want to test something by you. I've been thinking maybe we should take Sundays off on the wake-up call. Maybe I should take Sundays off on the wake-up call. You know, I'm preaching at a church on Sunday, too. And I want to get some community input on that. I may try to work out a little survey. We'll see if we can pull it off. It'll be in the notes today in the PS, if I'm able to do it. But I'm just thinking about the whole thing going quiet. We've done other things on Sundays before. I call it going Chick-fil-A, right? Closed on Sunday. I kind of like that. I kind of like the message it sends. I want chicken sandwich. I want nuggets. I want waffle fries on Sunday. But you know what? I have to accept the fact that Chick-fil-A's got a different priority. I'm not going to get them there that day. It's a witness. Anyway, let's think about that. Let's begin this morning in consecration. I've already taken too much of your time talking about other things. So wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're meeting with Jesus here together, friends, across all the miles that separate us. There is no distance between us and the kingdom of heaven. So pull up close. Today's entry is entitled, "And though," maybe I should sing it, "And though this world with devils filled," that's Martin Luther's great hymn, "should threaten to undo us." I think we might even be singing that today. Yep, me and Dad. I think that's on tap for today. I think that's a plan. "And though this world with devils filled," our text is coming out of the text, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. "Hear now the word of the Lord. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of the Lord. Now consider this. The armor of God is the image of God. Can we call this the foundation for doing battle in the power of the Spirit? Today's text helps us build on that foundation. First, by revealing the nature of the full armor of God. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the Word of God. Did you get that? The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the sword, the helmet. These unseen supernatural realities can protect us. Note I did not say they will protect us, but they can protect us. We bear some responsibility in this matter. More on that in a minute. First, we need to be reminded of why we need protection. The previous text laid it clearly before us with one addition from our present text. The devil's schemes, the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, the day of evil, the flaming arrows of the evil one. Who knew we had so much working against us? Though many do not believe in a personal evil being, Scripture seems clear. If Paul is not convincing, hear the Apostle Peter. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That's 1 Peter 5:8. Now, hear the Apostle John. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's 1 John 3:8. Okay, then we call Jesus himself to the witness stand, who taught us to pray, deliver us from the evil one. It's Matthew 6:13. One question I have is, given all these threats, why doesn't God just put the full armor on us himself? Wouldn't that be easier? I suppose the same question could be posed concerning salvation. Why doesn't God just save everyone, irrespective of any response on our part? Human beings have response ability. If you're not able to see the text I've written, it's the word response dash ability, A-B-I-L-I-T-Y, not the normal spelling, I-B-I-L-I-T-Y. Response ability. We are not robots. We have the freedom of will to act or not act. The doctor can prescribe life-saving medication, but the patient must put it in their mouth and swallow it. Paul is explicit in his instructions. Put on the full armor of God, Ephesians 6:11. What does that mean? Truth is like a belt holding everything together. Righteousness covers us like a breastplate, protecting the core of our being. Peace enables us to move with ease. Faith is like a shield, and the Word of God like an invisible sword. Note the way the text calls us neither to an offensive posture nor a defensive one. Three times in the previous text and one time in this one, we see the same word repeated. Stand. we are not responsible to defeat Satan. Satan has already lost. Our calling is to put on the full armor of God and then to stand firm. It reminds me of the great Exodus when Pharaoh's army pursued the Israelites to what appeared to be a certain death with their backs to the Red Sea. Listen carefully to Moses' words to the people. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." That's Exodus 14:13. One more observation. The armor of God and the image of God have in common the Son of God. Jesus is the truth. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is our shield and our salvation. Indeed, He is the sword of the Spirit, the very Word of God in human flesh. To put on the full armor of God can be nothing less than clothing ourselves in Jesus Christ, bearing witness to His life within us. After all, the battle is not ours, but His. In that spirit, let's give the great Martin Luther the last word today from the second stanza of his immortal hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabbath, His name. From age to age the same. And He must win the battle. That's beautiful. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who must win the battle. Thank You that He is our sword and shield, our righteousness and peace, our truth and salvation. It's Him. Fill us with Your Spirit that we might be clothed inside and out with Christ Jesus. And teach us what it means to stand firm and behold the deliverance of the Lord. Praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Journal prompts today. You've got some time this morning, maybe even a little extra time. Journal. I want you to get in the workbook and engage like this. How have you understood the concept of the full armor of God in the past? Number two, in what dimension of the armor do you feel as though you have substituted your own strength for the Lord's? And number three, what might it look like for you to actively and intentionally put on the armor, even in a daily way? You know, I just had the thought, even as I was asking you those questions, I thought, you know, to the extent that we're not putting on the full armor of God, you know what we're actually doing? Self-protection. Self-protection. And we do that. We natively and naturally do that. we just protect ourselves with some other kind of barrier, or either defensive hiding or offensive fighting. And it just, man, aren't you tired of that? I get tired of self-protection. I just want to be, this is what he's showing us. He's like, this is how you fight your battles. Maybe it's, this is how you fight my battle, by being protected by my armor. That's Jesus himself, the image of God, putting on Christ. And I love how the text just breaks it down, right? Righteousness, like a breastplate. You just put it on. Salvation, like a helmet, the mind of Christ. The belt, truth, like a belt that just holds it all in place, firm and secure. Like you could run with it. The word of God, like a sword. And then the shield. Faith is like a shield. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I want to encourage you to live with that, to walk with that, work with it, meditate on it today. I'll have to be honest. It's kind of fallen out of my awareness. Ephesians is bringing it back. And I'm going to find a way to put it on every day. I put on, you know, my pants and my shirt and my socks, and I put that on every day. What would it look like to put on the armor of God in this way that we're talking about? I'm going to go for it. You do it too. Let's compare notes sometime along the way. All right, it's time to sing. It's going to be good today. All right, wake up call. Guess who's with us again today?
David Waltz here.
And we're here Sunday morning, and we're getting the pregame warm-up for our practice at church. Sunday church, guys. You know where I stand on this. Sunday's not the big game. Sunday's practice. Big game's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and all the other days at NDMY. And so we're getting ready here in Gillette to meet together in the house of God and become the house of prayer, and see what the Lord has for us today. I tell you, we're finishing Ephesians. We're getting close now. And we're going to sing, this is one of my favorite hymns. This is a Lutheran hymn. You know why? Mm-hmm. You know why it's a Lutheran hymn? Mm-mm. Look who wrote it.
Martin Luther.
Martin Luther. And Martin Luther, my gosh, he was a devil slayer in Jesus' name and power. And he shows us what it looks like to do battle against the devil. And he wrote this hymn. I mean, everybody was after him. And he wrote this famous hymn in the year 1529.
That's a long time ago.
Long time ago. Called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. What's our page number on that?
35.
In Our Great Redeemer's Praise, our hymnal. And you got to sing all four verses of this, because this hymn tells a story. Mm-hmm. It's every verse is like a cliffhanger, and you just got to keep going to see what's going to happen. I want you to notice something. We're going to come around to verse 3, and the last line in verse 3 is one, talking about the devil, one little word shall fell him. And, of course, we know that word, don't we?
Jesus.
Starts with a J, ends with an S, Jesus. So, let's see, Dad. And you know what else I just love about this hymn? Do you remember at Peepaw's funeral, we sang this as the introit?
Is that right?
As we were, as the family was walking down the aisle, the congregation, it was a packed house, singing this hymn at the top of their lungs, and it was as though the song were becoming the fortress around us as we sang
it. That gives me goosebumps.
And it was such a comfort and a declaration of faith. So, you ready?
I'm ready.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark ever failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is none his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our standing would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Just ask who that may be, Christ Jesus is he. Lord, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle.
Three.
And though his world will devils fill, shall threaten to undo us, we will not fear the God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall tell him.
Last verse.
That word above all earthly power, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still.
All you got.
His kingdom is forever.
That's a great hymn,
amen,
isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, that's just put your stake in the ground.
That'll take your air out.
Here I stand, a great hymn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one to sing on Sunday, the resurrection day of Jesus. So, we're going to let you go now. We're not going to see you on the field today. We're going to see you at the house of the Lord. If you have a church, we want you to go. If you can get out and go to church, just if you don't have a church, just say, Jesus, take the wheel and lead you to a church. There's a bunch of them out there. Just take a risk. And if you can't get out and you don't have a church, you know where we want you to come today?
To our church.
Our church, which is... Where are we, Dad?
We're in Dumas, Arkansas.
Gillette, come on. We moved from Dumas. We love Dumas.
We're at the Methodist Church in Gillette, Arkansas.
Gillette, Arkansas. You don't graduate from Dumas, but you can move.
Yep.
And we did. And I'm the pastor over here.
Amen.
And we're on YouTube and Facebook, G-I-L-L-E-T-T, no E on the end. Gillette, just look us up, Gillette Methodist Church.
Oh.
Sing and pray and preach and all those things. Anyway, that's where we'll see you today. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.